Welcome to the NCCF Teaching Podcast. We trust you find this encouraging. New Covenant Christian Fellowship is located at 205 North Pine Street in Woodland Park, Colorado. Our phone number is 719-687-6061. Our Sunday gathering is at 10 a.m. We trust you are blessed as you pore over God's Word with us.
Oh, the seas lift up their voices, and the skies pound their drums.
All right, please join me in prayer. I thank you so much, Lord, that you express your love to us in many different ways. We ask that you'd release your power inside of us today, that we would actually be rooted and grounded in love. Thank you for drawing us here into your house. Now, as your word goes forth, let it accomplish what you have intended for it, Lord. I thank you for this time. I thank you for your goodness. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. So I'm wanting to dive right into the scripture, and I just keep having this thought. I believe it's from the Lord telling me I need to go this direction. So if you're a woman and you had a problem sleeping last night because you were worried about finances, would you say? Woman here that had a hard time sleeping last night because of finances, please stand. Anybody? All right, let's move on. Grab your Bibles. Psalms 37, verse 7. What I'm going to try to do is I'm going to try to take a topic that's known in Christian history, but it's not really taught a lot about in a lot of context today, because it has a negative connotation to it because of our culture. And so what I want to do is I want to bring to you the four words that are used in the Old Testament on the word wait. Wait upon the Lord. So we're going to talk about what does it actually mean to wait upon the Lord. Psalms 37, verse 7 is the first one we want to look at. And the Hebrew word is chaka, and it's obviously the word wait. And this type of word for wait that is being used here in the Hebrew, this is talking about time specifically. And this will make sense as time progresses, that this one is talking about giving time to wait on the Lord. Now, before I read the scripture to you, let me say, the way that we look at waiting on the Lord is though He's slow. Or what is taking God so much time? And it usually has a negative connotation to it. The scripture doesn't have any of that kind of negative connotation. It actually says that waiting on the Lord is an incredibly positive thing to learn to do because of all the things that God gives us by us waiting on Him. So the first one is time. God actually says, and I find time to be fascinating because when we give time back to the Lord, I actually believe time is a resource that God has given us just as much as money or any of the other things He's given us. And when we give time back to Him, what we're actually saying is, I'm going to lay time down so that I can draw from the resource of eternity. If you guys are like, I know, we're training our culture to go all the time, aren't we? We actually don't have time for almost anything. And yet, the most important things actually take relationships on the human level and even with God are about nurturing and spending time with someone. And yet, in reality, we spend more time thinking about God or talking about God instead of spending time with God. And you can see that we have a lot of what we'd say knowledge about, information about God, but not a lot of what we would call connection with. And do you guys notice the difference between someone that connects with God and someone that just talks about God? You can see a depth in relationship, and it only comes as I wait or give time. Psalms 37, verse 7 says this. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for Him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his ways. Because of the man who carries out wicked schemes. So I find it, he's actually taking two ideas and putting them together here, that which I appreciate. Wait and rest in the Lord. So waiting on the Lord, at least from this passage, is telling you it's not only a time element, it's an element of being at peace. Now, there are a lot of us that have relationships, and when we meet with people, we're stressed out because we have an agenda or we want to work through something. It's saying that the healthiest way to relate to God is come as in a form of peace and just relate. Now, this doesn't mean you can't tell God your problems or that you aren't supposed to do those things, because Scripture tells us to cast our cares on Him. But it isn't just I give my cares to God, I learn to relate to God. I learn who He is by spending time with Him. In my early 20s, to give you an example of this, I was influenced by a lot of writers that talked about intercession. So I tried to go through what I call seasons where before I would go to school, I would have a couple hours, and what I would do is I would get ready for school, and then I would ask my wife, sweetie, do you mind if I go spend an hour with the Lord before I go to class? And so I would actually go into, at this time was my bathroom, I'd turn off the lights and cover up all the lights in the floor and literally just spend an hour, not praying, but just waiting on the Lord. That's interesting. When you give yourself to this, which I'm going to show you through these passages, you're going to meet, because you're turning your heart towards eternity, you're going to experience an eternal God. You're going to experience who God is in these times. There were some times that I would be laying on the floor just waiting on the Lord, and the power of God would come and fill me so dynamically, it would almost shake me to the core of who I was. There wasn't a dialogue going on or anything. It was just standing before the presence of the Lord and Him overshadowing me, which moves us to the next concept of one. Would you guys turn with me to Psalms 91, verse 1. Psalms 91, verse 1. We're going to see another word for wait. Psalms 91, verse 1. Should be really familiar to you. It's a lot of people quote it. There's a good reason why. And this Hebrew word is gevah, and it means to wait. So it's he who dwells, that's the word wait, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. Now, this Hebrew word for wait isn't just time now. It's entering into why do I give time to this? This Hebrew word means that if I give myself to waiting, God awakens something in me that isn't produced in any other form of walking with God, and it's called expectancy. Now, this is important. There seems to be in the economy of heaven that God has something that He wants done on the earth, but the only way that He can get it accomplished on the earth, because of the way He set up the universe, is He has to have you and I asking for it and come into agreement with His promises. And so the Bible is saying here, well, what if I don't have that in me? What if I feel like I have everything satisfied? The Bible is saying, well, what will happen is if you wait on the presence of the Lord, He will actually awaken you to start asking Him for things that you naturally wouldn't ask Him for. Are you guys like I am? I always feel just grateful enough that I've gotten saved that I don't really feel like asking God for anything else. Or like I'm putting something on Him that He doesn't want to do. That kind of thinking comes from the idea of not understanding how abundantly God likes pouring out His goodness and interacting with us. And so for God to change that, when I wait on Him, He awakens expectancy inside of me. In fact, it even says here, he who waits or he who expects from the Lord or dwells in the presence of the Lord will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I'm going to pick up that word as we move on in this also, but that word shadow can be described two ways. It can mean the protection of the Lord, or it can mean the manifest presence of the Lord, which actually the protection of the Lord is involved in. They're connected ideas. So the Bible is saying everything that God is wanting to awaken in me, if I wait on Him, I don't have to try to bring it about. He'll awaken it in me, and He'll overshadow me with His abiding presence, and in that, I'll be protected. And when I first started understanding that, I always used to see that as just a form of, this is how you protect yourself in spiritual warfare. Because it is a word of protection. If I go turn my heart to the Lord when I'm going through spiritual warfare, God overshadows me. There's a protection from evil that comes literally in my soul. And I actually believe tangibly around me. And it's for our sake. That's why He calls you. Come and dwell in His presence. Wait, and He'll awaken expectancy. Now, in the Beatitudes, Jesus makes a statement to people. He said, now, look, this is kind of how the economy of the kingdom of God works. Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness will be satisfied. So what if I have no hunger or thirst? Where does that come? By the way, I actually believe that a lot of times we're so satisfied with the physical world, especially in our culture, that there's little or no hunger for anything of the kingdom of God most of the time in our culture. And so the Bible is saying, look, to get set free from that malaise and that almost being put to sleep to spiritual realities, give yourself to the process of waiting on the Lord, and He'll start creating hunger. He'll start creating thirst, and the goal is to satisfy you. Keep moving on. Let's look at another word that's used for wait in the scripture, and this is in Isaiah 61, verse 4. Would you turn there with me? Isaiah 61, verse 4. Remember, these are all different Hebrew words, but they're translated. This is sometimes the problem with going from one language to another, is it does mean wait, but they have different meanings, different impacts, different contexts to them. And so that's why it's good for us to look at this. It would just be translated wait, we think it'd mean the same thing, but they were very specific in these languages with intentional concepts they were trying to get across to you. So this word in Isaiah 61, verse 4, it says this, "And from the days of old we have not heard or perceived by ear, nor has our eyes seen a God beside you who acts on behalf of those who wait for him." Now, this word for wait is interesting. It actually is not the word for expectancy. It's the word for longing. All right, you guys ready? So the Bible is actually saying there's not a God like you in history that when you wait on him and long for him to do something, he will not leave you there. He'll actually come and respond to it. Now, I think culturally, waiting, especially when it comes to God, is we see it as a negative thing. Now, if God says that another word for wait is to create a longing, or for you to long for him, what is he doing in the process of you waiting for him? I think that whatever God is promising you, or he's wanting to do in your life, or the intervention you're waiting for, he's not only working behind the scenes to create that experience, he's creating inside of you the place to receive it when he does it. There's a phenomenon in both the Old and New Testament about God interacting with you and I. A lot of times God interacts and we don't perceive what he's doing. Have you guys noticed that in your life? There have been several times where the Lord has done something in my life and I always say, I have no idea why God did that. I mean, I know God's good, I know he's doing that, but I have no knowledge of what he's doing in a situation or why he even initiated beyond just saying, well, I guess God's good and he knows how to govern the universe. The Bible is saying here, when I spend time with the Lord, not only does it create an expectancy and a longing, it also means the idea of the counsel of the Lord comes to me in that place, and I start coming into what we call the knowledge of the ways of the Lord. You guys remember the year 1999? Do you remember how exciting that was? Remember there was supposed to be a computer virus that was going to seize up all the computers in the world and we were all going to die? Do you remember that? Because we were going to run out of all this stuff? I don't know what you guys did here, but in Kansas City, we went ballistic. We stopped handing out bulletins, to show you how silly we are sometimes. And we started handing out how to kill squirrels in our community and skin them after all the electricity. And we're trying to figure out how to fill our bathtubs with water. Did you guys do any of that kind of stuff out there? And I remember going to Rochester and churches were having meetings on how to buy expensive generators and all this other stuff. Wasn't 1999 just really cool? Okay. So for my wife and I, the year 1999 was terrifying because the whole body of Christ was literally just waiting till December 31st, and as we got closer, people just started acting really kind of interesting. And so my wife and I sat down and talked with each other about this. Well, I guess that we're not going to have a job after a while, and all the cars are going to break down, and we're going to have to break up our furniture and set them on fire to eat the squirrels as I shoot through the neighborhood. And so we made a decision that I would go out every weekend on the road to get as much resources so I could get the money, where I thought money would actually be beneficial after the 31st, but get enough money so that we could get resources, all right? So my wife and I entered into it. Isn't that great? So I'm in Chicago in September of 1999. And I get to the meeting. I thought it was funny because I'm trying to get ready for the apocalypse. And the Lord is not responding that way to me at all. As I'm on the road, I go to Chicago and I get invited to this church. It's a Korean church in Chicago. And they don't speak English. So I have to actually use an interpreter in the United States to do a and it was during Thanksgiving. Did I say October? It's November. And so I'm there, and I'm asking the Lord, now, what do you want to do here today? And he said, well, what I want to do here today is I want to change the longing in their heart of what I'm able to do in the midst of them. And I thought, well, what does that mean? The Lord said, well, I'm going to give you 9 words of knowledge. You're going to call these out, and when the people come forward, I want you to just say, now, watch what the Lord's going to do. And then go sit down in the audience. That's not a good way to do ministry time, by the way. So I did. I gave 9 words of knowledge. And this place, they had a stage kind of like this one, but it had 5 or 6 steps. And so 9 people come up. One of them was a lady that was, she had a hard time walking and getting up the steps. I don't know why I made her get up the steps, but I did. But she's standing up there. And I said, okay, now I'm going to try something new. The Lord is telling me that I'm to invite his presence and go sit down in the audience and just do a commentary on what the Spirit of the Lord is doing. And they're translating it. Can you imagine? I guess I'd only do this in a Korean church because I'll probably never get invited back again. Okay, so I go, okay, so now watch. Holy Spirit, come. And then I went and sat down in the audience. And we're sitting there watching the people. And I told everybody, now watch, you'll see the Holy Spirit start ministering to them. And while we're sitting there, nothing's happening. Isn't that so exciting? And I'm getting to 5 minutes of waiting, and I'm like, this isn't fun. So I'm not having all the things I'm talking to you about right here. I'm waiting with full stress and anxiety, and the pastor keeps, like, bending forward and looking at me like, how are you going to do this? So after I caught his eye once, I stopped looking at him. And I'm just sitting there, oh, gosh, we're 10 minutes into this. Nothing's happened yet. And then finally, the Spirit of the Lord comes on that lady I told you that had the cane. She's standing like this, and this, I've never seen anything like this. The Spirit of the Lord comes on her so powerfully that her stomach, she had this tight shirt on, her stomach rippled like a bowl of jelly. As the Spirit of the Lord's going through her, the power of God hits her, and she yells, ah! And throws her cane up into the ceiling, and it gets stuck in the ceiling. Then she falls down the flights of stairs. Okay. So now I really don't want to look at the pastor. And everyone just, you're not supposed to do stuff like that. And so everyone's starting to flip out. And while they're kind of getting upset about it, now the Lord's picking each person. And I should have never brought them on stage, but 4 of them fell off the stage and fell on the ground. The other 4 fell backwards into the speakers and the music equipment. I mean, it was one of the worst ministry times I've ever had. And when that happened, the whole room changed. All of a sudden, people would try to go up to help them, and as they would, the Spirit of the Lord would hit them, and they would fall on the ground. And I realized, I'm telling everybody, hey, don't worry about that. That's the Spirit of the Lord. And I realized I've lost my translator because he tried to go up there, and he got knocked on the ground. So I just put my mic on the ground and just went, okay, I'm going to watch this. So I get up and go to the back of the sanctuary. It was probably the most intense experience of the Lord moving in a church service I've ever seen in my life. In fact, they forgot about me. The Spirit of the Lord healed I don't know how many people, touched them, resolved issues they had, and they were all laughing and crying and singing and carrying on for over 4 hours. I got so tired of it. I asked one someone, could you actually take me home? I mean, they're not paying attention to me, and they're going to be here until 3 in the morning. Could you take me back to my hotel room? So They stayed there until 2 in the morning with the Spirit of the Lord ministering to them. Now, the next day I come back, and I go, does anyone want to give a testimony about what happened last night? That's not a good way to start a service either, especially after what happened. But the lady that actually, the very first lady comes up and she says, well, I actually wasn't even going to come to this service because it's not an English service, but I saw it, and I was at the grocery store. There was a flyer for it, and I actually, a week ago, was in my grocery store, and they had water on the ground, and I slid on it, and I mean, really just messed up my hip and just all kinds of pain, and I thought, she said, I had this thought go through my head, well, I ought to go to that service and see if they even pray for people, which they didn't even, they weren't even advertising it as that. She comes to the service. She said, I was amazed on how Jesus met a longing in my heart. She said, I didn't even feel anything when I fell down the flight of stairs because I felt so much of the love of God in me as I was going through all that stuff. Man, that just surprised me. Now, you guys ready? God is trying to create a longing inside of us for Him to be who He is in the midst of us. And what, it's amazing, a lot of times we draw the presence of the Lord by worship, and we draw the presence of the Lord by prayer, but we also draw the presence of the Lord by waiting on Him. Should I venture off here? By the way, the next week I went to Detroit, literally Chicago. Remember, I was doing it every weekend. So I go to this African-American church in Detroit. And I'm sitting there, what do you want me to do during the service? And the Lord goes, well, what you just did in Chicago, I want you to do it here. And I thought, no, I don't want to do this again. And He says, all right, so just give a call out. If there's anybody that's sick here in the church, just have them stand up and come forward. Well, this was a downtown Detroit church. And I said, there was about 400 people in this gymnasium. And 200 people come forward. And I tell the pastor, hey, I'm going to do this thing where I'm going to invite the Spirit of the Lord, and then I'm going to go over here, and I'm just going to tell you what God's doing. Is that okay? And He's like, yeah, go ahead and do that. And I was like, Holy Spirit, would you come? And we're into that waiting thing again. So the pastor's wife got in a car accident like 2 months before I came to that meeting, had severe whiplash, and she was trying to recover from that. So who does the Lord pick first? The pastor's wife. Spirit of the Lord comes on her. She falls on the ground, right? Now, this is, if you know African-American churches, they dress up really nice when they come to church. And so she had a skirt on and everything, so she just slams on the ground. And so they're running over her trying to throw blankets on her, right? And as people are trying to come and throw a blanket on her, the Lord's driving them to the ground. Now, by the way, just so we all understand this, I don't like this kind of stuff, to be honest with you. It's uncomfortable. When she went down to the ground, the pastor got really scared and ran over to her. And when he did, he went on the ground. And then I lost the meeting. I actually went to the edge of the sanctuary and just walked with 200 people, watched literally just people go down in groups, the Spirit of the Lord ministering to them. Then the Spirit of the Lord went in the back of the church. The youth were back there just watching it going, what in the world's going on? And the Spirit of the Lord came on them. They went down to their knees. This is the weirdest thing I've ever seen. And they're walking on their hands and knees crying and repenting of their sins. And I'm like, where are they going? And I'm just watching them go up to the front of this church. And then there was a lady literally standing by a speaker right like this. And the Spirit of the Lord, seriously, you guys ready for this? Hits her. She hits the speaker. The speaker falls off at the top of it and lands on top of her. Yeah, I'm going to finish this first, okay? So I went up to her, asked her, are you okay? And she just laughs and goes, what are you talking about? And I said, you didn't feel that speaker falling on top? She goes, no. I just feel the love of Jesus on me. I'm like, wow, that's unusual. So I can't do anything. I'm just watching people do stuff. So the only thing that I'm left doing is trying to pick people off the ground. Now, the janitors are telling us, you guys need to get out of here. The service is over. We want to clean the building. Get out of here, because this is going on for over 2 hours. So we're picking people up and we're taking them outside, laying them on the grass. One person after another is trying to take the pastor's wife off the ground. And every time they do, the Lord knocks them and the person on the ground. We finally get the pastor's wife into the car, and she looks like someone she'd just done World Federation Wrestling. This really nice uniform was all over the place. As I'm walking out the door, I'm watching a guy climb a tree. And I'm asking the pastor, what is he doing? And he said, well, he was the guy laying right next to my wife. When the Spirit of the Lord came on her, my wife was spinning around and kicking, and she kicked him like 3 or 4 times in the head. And his arm had been, he actually had fractured his shoulder because he had fallen off a construction site, and the Lord healed him when he got kicked in the head 3 or 4 times, so he settled it out by climbing. How do I get out of this sermon? All right, so, God, see, I believe that some of the things that we read about, we hear about, isn't that the Lord doesn't want to do it in our generation. I just think we move too quickly in and out of the presence of the Lord for God to do any of this stuff. We just don't give him time. Let's look at the last one here. Psalms 25, verse 3. Psalms 25, verse 3. Now, this is interesting. Here's the Hebrew word for wait, but it actually means a different connotation. 25 says, indeed, none of these who wait for you will be ashamed. So now it's telling us the idea that when you wait, there's a lifting of shame that goes on from the Lord. Those who deal treacherously without a cause will be ashamed. Now, this Hebrew word for wait can also be used for the one where it says, he who waits on the Lord will mount on wings of eagles. That's that same Hebrew word. And it's really interesting because it's the word for intertwining. So when I wait on the Lord, God and I come into union with each other, and who he is and who I am intertwine with each other. Now, why is that so important? Think of all the things that God says that we're to do. Heal the sick, drive out demons, raise people from the dead. But it doesn't come by me just doing an action. It comes by an intertwining of God with me. So in a sense, God is using me or allowing me to walk with him so he can do the same thing he's done because there's an intertwining. This is also a really good word because it shows how character development works in the Christian experience. Isn't that amazing? I wait on God. God can do an intertwining of his character with my character to where I become like him. And then it uses the idea that if you wait, things that you don't possess, God will intertwine in you. Well, why is that so important? Well, that Isaiah passage, I actually think, really points to it. It tells us that shame can be lifted off, which we just looked off right here. But it also means that if you have physical weakness, God can give you his strength. And where you might be weary in some place, God can infuse you with his presence by intertwining himself with you to where you're drawing from his resources, not yours. Now, I don't know about you guys, but that gives comfort to me to realize what I lack in what God says is abundant life, what I lack in what it means to walk with the Lord. If I wait on him, that intertwining will start producing that inside of me. Isn't that amazing? I didn't say spend 20 hours in prayer. I'm just saying learn to wait on the Lord. You don't even have to talk to him. You can just stand in the presence of the Lord. Wait. Now, why is that so important? Because it's leading us to the last concept of wait. It's called the weight of God. Not time or place, but the weight, the anointing, the power of God that rests on you. We looked at Psalms 91, right? He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. You guys turn with me to Acts chapter 5, verse 15, and let's look at this. Because this is picked up again. Now, this is the story. Is Peter is walking back and forth to the temple to pray, and as he is, it's describing how the weight or the glory of God is actually resting on him. Now, I don't know what you do when you read those passages, but let me make sure I get this across as best I can. The same Holy Spirit that lived in Peter is resting on you. Okay? So this phenomenon that happened with him, we have to ask a question. Is that available for us today? If it is, Could that possibly be something we could learn that actually creates that phenomenon, or was that a sovereign thing that God did, which he plans to never do again? Okay. Now, let's look at the passage. I'm going to try to describe it here to finish off the idea of wait. So Peter, it says, and to such an extent that they carried the sick out into the streets and laid them on cots and pallets, so that when Peter came by, at least his shadow might fall on them, any of them. So now they're talking about this idea of Peter's shadow, and we just use the idea of shadow in Psalms 91. By the way, it could be translated shadow like a sun illuminating something and a shadow being cast. It could be translated that way, but it's interesting, the word that we have for the English, a lot of ways it's translated where it says Peter's shadow fell on him. If you look at the original language, it actually has Peter's shadow envelop them. So it's not the idea of light hitting and casting a shadow. It's literally a presence of something, a canopy over Peter, that it, when people came into proximity of him, it enveloped them. And then that's how they got restored. Okay, that is fascinating. Because that means that you and I can wait on the Lord, and what it does is it creates an abiding manifestation of the presence of the Lord that is resting on you, that anyone that comes in proximity of it gets touched by. In fact, in the New Testament, this idea of overshadow, I want to make sure I do it, the overshadowing present here brings about this word that's used. It's the word for overshadow. It has two different Greek words, and the second part of the Greek word means that it carries the idea of God's purpose being fulfilled by this overshadowing. So get this, Peter is walking along, the manifest presence of God is resting on him, people are realizing if we get in proximity of that, we'll get healed. God is saying, I'm manifesting my glory on him, there he's carrying a weight of me now so that I can fulfill my purpose through him. Which it shows you that Peter didn't even recognize, all he was just doing was walking back and forth from prayer time, and yet God was, ready? The abiding presence of the Lord fulfills whatever purpose God wants to do in each person that comes near it. So that's why they realize if we even just get near that thing, all we have to do is just have some proximity of being enveloped by that thing, we'll be healed because we understand the purpose of God. God's will is to restore people. Isn't that amazing? So that actually means when you and I wait on the Lord, a saturation process is happening to us. We are being saturated with the goodness, the power, the authority, the anointing of God's blessing. And when people come in proximity of it, they are being ministered to by the presence of the Lord, whether we recognize it or not. It's literally as though we're giving the Lord to people by just being in the microwave of God's presence. Now, when I looked at this and I started studying the idea of Peter's shadow, I thought, well, has the church ever experienced this? If you read historical events of the church, you constantly see this. By the way, every move that we talk about with God, there's always three elements to it. I want to throw them out to you. One is worship. The second is prayer. The third is waiting on the Lord. Every movement has those three elements in it. Worship, prayer, and waiting on the Lord. I'm in the study. I can't teach it perfectly right now because I'm in the process of studying. But there's an accumulative effect of the anointing saturating a person that is more dynamic than just meeting God for 2 minutes and then getting out of his presence. Remember when Jesus pointed to the disciples and they couldn't figure out why they couldn't drive out a demon? He says, this doesn't come out without prayer and fasting. The whole purpose of prayer and fasting isn't the idea that there's a certain type of prayer that drives out this type of demon, a certain type of fasting. It's talking about giving your time to the Lord and being saturated with him releases what's needed in a situation. Now think about that with me. We're now standing in a time, I'm saying to you guys, look, what we actually see historically is going on even today. There are places where people are giving themselves to the process of just waiting on the Lord, And it is changing families because God gets to come in the midst of them and show them his goodness by waiting on them. You guys turn your hearts with me to the Lord now. So Lord, come. Let's bring your power and your presence right now. From what we've looked at today, Lord, I ask that for us, you would awaken the reality of what time is about. Would you create the longing that we need to be with you? Lord, if I don't have faith, that's what expectation is, if I don't have faith for you to do certain things, teach me to wait on you so that you can awaken that. And then, Lord, would you bring the weight of your presence upon us right now? And what is your counsel and your will would be demonstrated through your presence right now. And thank you for your goodness, Lord. I bless you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
It's our joy to offer these podcasts. We sure hope you enjoyed it. If you have any questions, any prayer requests, if you're curious about ways that you can more deeply be involved with this community, please drop us a line at nccfcolorado@me.com or like our Facebook page. Thank you and God bless.